How do you navigate the many challenges you face on your job, especially in relationships, and do that in a very Christ-like way? We'll talk about that today on Walking Worthy. Well, hello, I'm Mary Lohman with The Christian Working Woman, and here with me again is my good friend Lisa Bishop.
It's so good to be here, Mary, tackling another tough topic as it relates to the workplace.
I think it is a tough topic because we're going to look at some of the tough things that you have to do in a job and how do you do it in a Christ-like, loving way.
Yeah.
For example, if you're a manager or a supervisor, should you look different from other managers or supervisors? What should be the difference if you're a Christian?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And for those of you who might be saying, I'm going to check out of this because I don't manage people or lead people, I want you to stay with us because maybe you're not in an official management role where you supervise people, but you have influence and you are a leader. Because
that's right.
When you have influence, you are leading in some way, even if you don't have if you don't have that title. So I think this is an important conversation for really any Christian who's working in, you know, working in the workplace.
Yeah, because you're working, no doubt, with a team. So how do you love your team like Jesus would love your team? What does that look like in the workplace? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I do leadership training, and one of the things that is important and foundational is not only what we do when we are leading or influencing others, but like, who am I being? How am I showing up? And so I think one of the things that we need to be mindful of is, you know, what do people experience of me as I'm in the workplace? You know, how are people, yeah, how do I impact people? How do I influence people? Would people say, wow, you know, they have more humility than most people I know, or wow, they're a really great listener, or they really ask good questions because they want to get to know me as a person. And of course, we go to the Bible to see what the gospel principles are, but we have so many ways to show up differently in the workplace if we would follow Christ's example.
I think you're so right there. And you know, you can really show interest in them. You can't devote hours and time of, you know, personal counseling. You're not a counselor. But just say, you know that maybe their child's sick, and you just say, how's she doing? What's happening? Can I help you in any way? Just show real genuine concern and care. Ask them about themselves. And I think one of the keys you just hit on is listening. Not many good listeners around.
Oh, my word. No. There, you know, there's so many times when we are just waiting to make our point or get a word in, or I call them conversation hijackers, where you ask a question of someone and they start answering, but all of a sudden you say, me too, or let me tell you what happened with me,
rather than
like asking the question and really being genuinely interested in what the person is saying.
Right. I remember years ago when I read in the scripture that we should humble ourselves. And for the first time, I thought about that. And I thought, what does that mean? And how do I do it? And what does it look like? And one of the things I'm sure the Holy Spirit said to me was, hey, just don't talk about yourself all the time. Listen and care about other people. And I started being intentional about it, not as much as I should be, but really saying, how are you? And meaning, how are you? Instead of waiting for my chance to tell you how I am.
Yeah.
So it's something you can pray about, isn't it?
For sure. You can pray about it and practice it right away and just maybe even notice your tendency to want to interject. But man, there is a huge gift of listening. You know, that God's word says, listen several times throughout it. And so that's one way we can model Christ-likeness.
Yeah, I think of the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Moses and Elijah, and Peter, of course, says, oh, let's build tabernacles. And the Holy Spirit said, this is my son, listen to him, meaning
that's good.
No talking, Peter, it's time to listen.
That's good, that's good.
So, okay, let's suppose you are a manager or a supervisor, and you've got an employee or something working, maybe even on your team, and they're just habitually late, or they're just missing the mark in their performance in some way or another. How do you approach and demand good performance in a loving way?
Yeah, I think that's really difficult. It can be difficult. But I think when we look at this idea of, and you didn't say this word, but in essence, it's accountability, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be, that word accountability sounds really scary. Like I have to call out something, you know, that someone did that is wrong or not productive. And I would say, let's shift our lens and think about how we can hold people accountable, like hold them in account for what they're able to do and calling them up. Rather than this, oh, I got to call them out. But it's really saying, hey, like I've seen this in you or I see this in you, and I just want to call you up to that because I know that you're capable of it. Now, that assumes that they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are missing the mark, and no matter what we do, their skill set just does not match the role. But I think what we do ourselves a huge favor is even, you know, in the hiring process, or make sure you're doing reviews with your people too, especially early on. If you've just hired someone, do a, you know, do a 4-week check-in and review and really get, you know, honest about, hey, what's working, what's not working, what's missing, what's confused, and start there. So there's expectations. People know what's expected of them and agree on expectations. So when we're having these account-able conversations, that it's not a surprise and that we have these conversations with a degree of frequency. You know, I used to work within an organization. Literally, I did not get a performance review for years. I mean, I didn't know it. And even the words performance review get a little bit scary because it's like, oh, I'm going to get called in and called out. But no, as we lead, as we supervise, as we, if we are an official management role, really thinking of it is a conversation of how, like, I'm for this person succeeding. And so how can I enter into the conversation that way rather than being fearful of, you know, thinking that I have to just point out everything they're not doing well? Does that make sense?
Yeah. The old management catch somebody doing something right and tell them, and we're so prone to go the other way. You know, we tell them when they miss the mark. How about telling them when they make it? That can also be helpful. But, you know, there are times if you're running an organization or a department or whatever, a team, you have to demand performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be demanding performance from people who just don't see it the way you do.
Yeah.
And yet you have the job. So you have to sometimes be tough. So how do you do that in a loving way?
Well, I think that's a really – it's a good question too, because the thing that can happen if we're not – calling people up to excellence. And first and foremost, as a follower of Jesus, one of the ways that you have to stand out in the work environment is doing as everything unto the Lord, as the word says. And that means doing things with excellence. It doesn't mean with perfection,
right,
but it means with excellence. So, you know, as we lead, we do require that people perform well and they have, you know, they have a sense of excellence. One thing I think that's important is that we address it early on. I think what can happen is we don't have the conversation when we sense that something may be off and we let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of time goes by and then we do have a conversation and the person's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I think it's important early on if we notice, hey, some things feel out of alignment with what we agreed would be deliverables or outcomes, you know, having a conversation, you know, with someone and saying, hey, I wanted to do a check-in. There's a couple of things that I have noticed and I wanted to have a conversation with you about them.
Don't you think that goes back to our strong tendency to avoid confrontation.
Yeah.
We just hate those conversations. And so most of us do. Some people may not, but, you know, oh, surely not. I don't have to do that, you know.
Yeah.
So we have to learn that that can be a loving thing to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That you are helping this person. You're not tearing them down if you go about it in the right way.
Right. And some people, you know what? It is a loving thing to do because they may be thinking, this isn't the right role for me either. And they may be wanting someone to affirm that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all about our attitude of heart. Is my attitude of heart to be critical, or is my attitude of heart just really sensing that this isn't the right role, or maybe it is, and that person just needs to be coached to performance? So I do think, as you're mentioning, is it is our mindset, it's our heart set, and it's, you know, our level of intention. This is a little bit on topic, off topic. But, and again, this all has to do with where we're coming from, because people, even if we say something nice, people can see and feel our intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a meeting not too long ago, and there's a person on the team that just kind of has an Eeyore personality. I don't, maybe if all of our, you know, if you don't know who Eeyore is, he was kind of a like grumpy character in, what was it? Winnie the Pooh, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And just, you know, kind of has a cloud around them all the time.
A little negative.
Yeah, negative. Yeah. And no one says anything. And I think, well, that's really not good for him, and mm-hmm. it's really not good for the culture and the environment when we notice things but we don't call people up. It has an impact on the environment mm-hmm. as well because people see that. So we're in a meeting, and my experience of this person is that they were coming across as antagonistic. So I just said, hey, Sam, that's not the person's name. I said, I'm having an experience right now, and I don't know if this is your intention. I'm experiencing some hostility from you right now, and I'm just wondering if that's accurate. And it was really fascinating, and it was all in the delivery, and my intention was not to zap him, but to be like, hey, I want you to notice something you may not notice. And let me tell you, his attitude shifted within a second. And then the rest of the meeting, he didn't have that disposition. So I think sometimes—
You did him a favor.
Right. Sometimes we need to know. Again, all in the approach.
Yeah, exactly true. Yeah, speaking the truth in love. It's really what the Bible says, but mm-hmm. to speak the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Help people by speaking the truth. Yeah. I agree. But what do you do when maybe you don't have the power to actually let someone go, but you honestly believe they are bringing the team down? You know, it only takes one person like that who doesn't change, who stays negative, who stays sour to bring the whole department, team, group down, right? And maybe you don't have the power to change them or to dismiss them. What do you do to keep them from ruining the whole team?
Yeah, that's a hard one. And I don't think this is normal in cultures these days. But I think, first of all, leadership creating a culture where we're giving feedback, it's not a scary thing, but we're giving feedback to people. So I'm not saying this is easy and something that I find easy to do myself, but it could be such this example that I just mentioned of saying, you know, hey, Mary, I noticed this in the meeting, and I'm not sure that you intended to come across that way, but that's how it landed. And I just was wondering, wanted to check in and see like how you're doing, what's occurring for you or what's going on for you, and like help develop people's awareness. Because part of it is, you know, we get fearful in our team environments to not be open to giving and receiving feedback. And so we don't. Mm. And then all of a sudden it's the boss that's firing this person when the person has had really no indication from anyone else. And I know that's not easy, but in an ideal culture to strive towards. You know, there's a book that I read not too long ago that talks about not doing 360-degree evaluations, which if, you know, you're familiar with that, it's when you send your evaluation out to people who report to you and people who are your peers and above you and so forth, and they give this anonymous feedback, and then you get this report, which I've had 20 years ago. I cried when I got it. But anyway, they say, this person says, instead of having 360-degree evaluations, have 365-day conversations. Mm. And so if we could be leaders and managers that really encourage 365-day conversations about feedback, I think that could make a really big difference. So I don't know that I've specifically answered that question, but I'm curious, how would you respond to that if I'm not in a position of leadership over someone who's underperforming, like what would you say?
Well, I'm just thinking of situations I've had in leadership positions where one person and their behavior was dragging the whole team down. And I had made attempts to communicate, to change, and I finally had to say, I have to have the benefit of the whole team has to be my priority. I have to consider this one person as, at this point at least, a very negative drag, and I need to remove this person from the group for the sake of the whole group because it was obviously affecting the whole group. So I had to go to this person and just tell her, this doesn't work. You just can't keep doing this. Yeah. And she was quite upset with me, but she left the group, and I was so thankful. It changed the whole group. Now, that was in a different setting, was in a church setting, actually. But again, I just realized that as the leader, I needed to have the whole group. Yeah, I wanted this one person to change. I wanted to help her. I wish she could get the message, but she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was suffering as a result. Does that make sense?
It does. And if you do lead or manage people, it is like take it on as your responsibility to notice when performance or behaviors are not helpful and creating a flourishing team or organizational environment. And I think the first thing is to get in step with someone and be curious of like, hey, what's going on? I've been noticing these things. But if you're in a leader or manager position where you have direct responsibility and people report into you, I love the point that you made, and I've seen this time and time again, that everyone else sees that that person is a challenge.
Yeah.
And so you're actually doing very great harm to the level of trust in the culture because the other people on the team or the organization can't trust you as a leader to do the right and the hard thing. And so it doesn't just become about that one person. It's now become about the climate and the environment of trust for everyone else.
Yeah. These are tough things, but these are things that are, I know a lot of people are facing in various and different ways. It's accountability, and it's speaking the truth in love, and it's confrontation, and it's all of those things done in a godly, Christ-like way. And I have to say there have been times I can remember when I didn't do it in a Christ-like way, you know, and my emotions came out and my anger came out, and now you've done more damage when you do it like that, right? So you have to recover when that happens, too.
Yeah. And you know what? Listen, it never feels good letting people go.
It
just doesn't. I mean, who likes doing that? I mean, maybe some people do, actually. I don't. Because, who wants to feel like you're like hurting someone or disappointing them or whatever the case is. But I think, as you said earlier too, like look at it from, wow, this person really is, they're not thriving in this role.
Mm.
And so play that out in 3, 6, 12 months and say, what impact is it going to have on the culture? What impact might it have on that person to be in the wrong place where their skills and their gifts are not being stewarded well? And so having the courage and I think praying about and asking God for discernment and wisdom and coming in to the conversation with really the attitude of heart of like, I'm really for you. I'm not against you. This conversation may sound like I'm against you. I'm actually not. I'm for you thriving and stewarding the gifts and talents God has given you. And I'm not quite sure that this is a good fit.
Yeah. And you know, when you recognize that and like you say, you've prayed about it and you struggle through it and you say, this is never going to be a good fit. It may get a little better, but it's not going to be a great fit. The sooner the better.
That's right.
Give them an opportunity to move on to something where they can fit in well, and then you can move on as well. It's hard. It's really hard.
They may end up thanking you, maybe not in the moment,
but
maybe down the road.
Maybe down the road. Don't count on it, but maybe down the road.
In heaven.
Yeah, in heaven. Well, these are some good thoughts, and you know, it just again says, you know, we're all human. We're all trying to figure it out and do it the right way, and we just need to be on our knees. We just need to be in prayer about everything. Go to the Word of God for principles. See what it says to you. Ask God for guidance, but then you have to be willing to do the hard thing sometimes.
Be courageous.
Be courageous. Amen.
Yeah. I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord, as we've been talking about. Mm. Bring this situation before Him. And, you know, God's Word says, before a word is on our tongue, before a thought is in our mind, He already knows it. And so, you know, we can seek human wisdom, but first seek the wisdom of God and say, Lord, you know what? I just really desire your wisdom in this. I know you're for this person. You're for me. And so help the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be solely pleasing to you. And give me the courage that I need to have the conversation that is required.
Yeah. It does take courage and spiritual maturity, but God can give us that wisdom. That's
yes,
the good
he
news. He says, he promises, if you lack wisdom, ask me.
That's right.
And he gives it.
Amen.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for being with us today, and we hope that you will join us next time as we seek to walk worthy.